We have a full lineup today, and obviously Israel is on our minds, and for good reason. So I would like to begin with my first guest. Joanna Shebson is the founder of Fun in Jerusalem, and she is a returning guest here to here on That's Life. Good morning, or I should say for you, good afternoon, Joanna.
Hi, Miriam. How are you doing?
I think I'm doing fine. I have to give you props as usual because the new website just makes me smile. It is phenomenal. And I know that the last time you were in New York, I was able to give it a shout out on the air. But as I interact with it more and more, I have to tell you, it's really out of this world.
Thank you very much. A lot of hard work, but it's paid off.
Yeah, I hope it continues to. So let's talk about the essence of Fun in Jerusalem for a very quick second. With bombs flying overhead and obviously the matzav being what it is, people are still having fun in Jerusalem.
Yes, people definitely are. The Israeli mentality, which is very different from, let's say, the mentality I grew up with, is you need to continue living life. Don't stop. Be safe and be smart, but don't stop your regular life.
Hmm.
And it's been incredible to watch Israelis really live by this. And it's not, you know, if you speak to someone who isn't used to the culture, they'll say you're not being responsible or you're not being realistic. But it's not true. You know exactly where you need to be, what you need to do, where you shouldn't go right now, and you make those decisions every morning when you plan your day.
Wow. And I noticed that in terms of the popular posts that you have on your homepage, the first one is red alert tips for tourists.
Yes. Because the most important thing is there are tourists who are already here. There are tourists who are planning to come and deciding, you know, if you go onto TripAdvisor, one of the most popular topics under Jerusalem is, should I still go to Israel on my planned trip? And it's just important to know that the way we live our lives today is if you're going to go out somewhere, the first question you ask when you get there is, where is the safe room? And you know, if there's a siren, you'll hear it. You know where to go, and you know to stay there for 10 minutes.
And we're not judging anyone and their personal decisions, but we want people to understand that life is going on.
Exactly. Like, if someone decides to go home early or someone decides to cancel their trip, nobody's judging them. I mean, this is a serious situation. This is not a joke. But, you know, as someone who I know had the pleasure of taking Vanessa Williams around the Israel Museum, and she said to her, it really means a lot to us that you didn't cut your trip short. And she said, well, why would I? I feel very safe.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. And as the mom of three small kids, and who are in summer programs and who have this going on and that going on, there's obviously a lot that goes into your planning of on a daily basis.
Definitely. My oldest son is actually in a Tiol camp, which is incredible. He goes with a bunch of local kids, and they go to a different location every day. So I'll be honest with you, there were a few days, especially at the beginning, once this operation started, that I said to him, you know what, would you mind staying home? And he, you know, was fine about it. He said, don't worry, I know it makes you nervous, I'll stay home today, it's okay. You know, he was going out on a teal in the middle of absolutely nowhere where I knew there'd be no bomb shelter. So
right.
I said to him, I'd really prefer you stay home. And then the truth is the kids were fine. The madrich is very responsible. And when he sent pictures home, you know, from that day, he said, yeah, we walked right past the Iron Dome.
Wow. Wow.
So, which on one hand is incredible, it kind of... you know, made me feel like, okay, I made the right decision for that day. On the other hand, it's a part of daily life here, and
right.
It's there, and it's protecting us, and there have been rockets, you know, targeted towards Jerusalem, and thank God the Iron Dome has caught them.
Right. It's I recently saw a report that for every Iron Dome rocket that is sent into the sky, it costs Israel $55,000. And
wow.
Yeah, that's right. That is a serious chunk of change, but obviously... money very well spent. So let's talk for a few minutes about different things that are going on in Jerusalem where people are having fun, staying safe, having options, but having fun. Specifically, the bamboo exhibit. Because I have to tell you, I am so jealous. The pictures that you have posted on your website and that I've seen on your Facebook page of your kids enjoying the bamboo, it's unfathomable that bamboo is that strong, but it's
exactly.
Incredible to see all these people climbing as high as they are.
So basically there were two brothers who are artists who decided to create an interactive installation that you could actually walk through. And the entire thing is made of bamboo sticks and climbing rope. So they're tied together with climbing rope, and they actually used very colorful climbing rope because they wanted to show you how many knots and connections there are to keep the bamboo together. But they're very strict. There are guards at the entrance to the bamboo exhibit, very strict, no flip-flops, no heels. Mm. And at first I thought, oh, you know what, you can go in Crocs, whatever. But seriously, like, they're serious climbing. Heels for sure not, because it goes straight through the bamboo.
All right. I know you're talking directly to me when you say that. Go on.
Yes, exactly. You'd have to leave your heels at home that day.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's incredible, because you really are very high up off the ground. You've got a view of all over Jerusalem, and there was like this whistling noise. And I turned to my son, of course, and I said to him, is that a siren? Is that an azaka? He's like, Mommy, it's the wind blowing through the trees. So, you know, and they just wanted to go up to the top. I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down here on this bench, because they're like benches along the way as you're going up. And I'm like, you guys go up, come back down and get me on your way down.
There are benches in the bamboo?
Yeah, there are a couple of spots where they've built bamboo benches with pillows on them, and you can kind of stop, 2-3 people can sit down at a time.
Wow.
And there are a few entrances and a few, like, there isn't one way to walk through it. There are a bunch of ways you can go. And it's about you experiencing it, you know, for yourself.
That's incredible. Have you been able to speak to these artists?
I actually went when they were building it, but the artists weren't there at the time, so I wasn't able to speak to them. But they had professional rock climbers actually building it, because there was no scaffolding set up around. This was built from the ground up, and as they built, they climbed.
Wow.
And it's a traveling exhibit. They've done it. I think they've done it in New York, actually. I think it may have started in New York, and it's been traveling around. It's been in Venice and a few other countries.
Well, I guess it's something that you can take down and do somewhere else. I imagine.
No, they may use the same bamboo. I'm not sure, but they build a different, they get inspired and build a different installation every time.
That's incredible. You know, the sheer physics that are involved with something like this, the weight, the balance, the strength of the bamboo versus the knots. I mean, it's completely beyond any high school or college course, but it's still quite something to behold, obviously, to watch all of these people. And it's not just one person at a time. There are numerous people up in this bamboo.
Yes. Yeah, there are at the same time. And I was there actually on a day when the Israel Museum was hosting a whole bunch of kids, 200 kids from the South. And let me tell you, they were happy to be free and happy to be running around.
Wow.
And there were times where the guards had to calm them down a bit.
I imagine just being able to get out and stretch your wings and fly around a little bit, so to speak, was probably very, very freeing. Let's also talk about the different summer camps that are around, that are available even midstream, so to speak, because the summer is underway, and people who are still having programming despite the situation.
So all of the summer camps mentioned in our summer camps guide have all continued. None of them have canceled. Very few, actually, of their campers have even canceled.
Mm.
They've just adjusted their schedules a bit. You know, we've got this incredible technology camp run out of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And they were supposed to go and visit the Dimona nuclear reactor about a day after a rocket was shot in that direction. So the government, there is actually a security department you must call when you run a camp to say, okay, I'm going on a teal, this is where it's going to be, is it okay? And they were told, no, you have to change your plans.
Got it.
But, you know, it was they were allowed, although the next day, to go to Google in Tel Aviv.
They went on a trip to Google?
They did. My son is actually joining this camp in another week or so, and he was so bummed out that he missed the Google trip.
That's hysterical. Well, I guess if that's the kind of thing that your kid is interested in, then phenomenal. Going to Google is a hoot and a holler. But
it's a robotics and hacker camp, and you go on trips to Intel, Google, water desalination plants. They had some camping trips in up north. It's a real mix of stuff. There's so many great camps going on in Jerusalem.
It's a hacker camp?
It is called a hacker camp.
I'm sorry, but that's a punchline in so many ways, shape, or form. But it's incredible. The truth of the matter is, when I think about it, I have two kids who would probably really enjoy something like this. And, of course, the word hacker entices them even more. Let's also talk about the segues, because segway touring through Jerusalem has always been hot.
Yeah, definitely. I actually went on a segway tour recently on the Armon HaNetziv Tayelet, or the Haas Promenade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic because the promenades there, they change names. They're like three or four different promenades as you go along. And you're on this it's like a mix of, wow, this is so cool and so fun to be on the Segway and this feeling of flying. And you're also learning about the history, and you've got some amazing views and incredible picture spots along the way. And as you go, you see different parts of Jerusalem. You're overlooking the Old City. You can see as far as the Dead Sea from one angle. So it's really incredible.
That's unbelievable. Joanna Shepson from Fun in Jerusalem, that's funinjerusalem.com, joins us via phone right now from Jerusalem. Let's also talk for a second about this ad that you have on your website for beachbus.co.il. I don't understand, getting to the beach in under an hour. You got to tell me what this is about.
Well, I can't honestly say that I've taken a bus from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv to go to the beach, but I've heard that it is a whole experience that could take up to an hour and a half to 2 hours from switching buses. The idea is there were a group of Yerushalmim, mm-hmm, who said, let's make it easy for people to get to the beach. This is actually the summer of the beach, because First Station, which is one of the local malls, outdoor malls that just opened up their own beach as well.
They opened up a beach?
They literally took an area of the mall, brought in sand, umbrellas, chairs, and they simulated surf machine.
In Jerusalem?
In Jerusalem, on Emek Rephaim.
You're kidding me.
And they serve drinks there. They serve popsicles, cut up fruit.
Where?
They've got kids' activities. It's, if you're facing First Station from Emek Rephaim, it's all the way on the left, next to the restaurant Hamiznon. It was an area that wasn't used, and they just built it into a beach.
Unbelievable. Okay, so that is...
Back to beach bus. So
yes.
The idea is, number one, it's fast. It's direct. It picks up in four different locations in Jerusalem, in Katamon, Baca. Takes you by a nice air-conditioned bus straight to the beach. It's a quick ride. And then they leave you there, and you get a bunch of different discount options in the area from local surf schools and
cool
restaurants in the area.
Cool.
And then at about 3:30, they pick you back up, and you're back in Jerusalem before Shabbos. You haven't gotten your car all sandy. You haven't, had to deal with traffic.
Right.
You had a great beach day.
That's unbelievable. You know, the truth of the matter is that this all speaks to Israeli resiliency and just continuing to plow forward. And while I don't want to take away from my interview at the end of this show, or the third interview with Dr. Michael Salomon, in which we will talk about resiliency, I think that just it is completely the overtone of everything that you're discussing today.
I agree. It really is. And it's interesting because you can see any situation from a positive or a negative. And the positive is to say the people living here are resilient. The negative is to say that they can be hard or harsh. It's not a hard or harsh. It's not a lack of emotion to say, I'm going to the beach today, or I'm going to the bamboo exhibit today when I know there are soldiers on the front line. That's not harsh. That's giving the soldiers the encouragement that life is going on, and we appreciate what they're doing for us, and that Am Yisrael Chai.
That's incredible. Rabbi Josh Fass from Nefesh B'Nefesh was on JM and AM this morning with Nachum, speaking about the upcoming charter flight on Monday from New York with all of the Olim who are making Aliyah on Monday, and the Olim that we've all been tracking who have just made Aliyah from France, riddled with anti-Semitism that it is. As a woman who made Aliyah, is that 6 years ago at this point?
Almost seven.
No way. 7 years ago. What can you speak to, or what can you say to these Olim who are coming right now?
I think what I can say is very quickly, it may take a little bit of time, but pretty soon you'll realize this is just the only place to be. That this is just, sometimes you think when something bad happens and when there's fear, you want to run away. I haven't met anyone of my friends or in my community who says, I want to run away. Not only that, I've got friends who ended up in the States because they had planned to be in the States, and they're talking about how they want to come back.
Wow.
So I'm not judging anyone who stays back in America, not at all.
Right.
But I'm saying that I can't tell you that I wake up. I can tell you that I wake up every morning and I say, this is where I want to live.
Mm. That is incredible. Joanna Shepson from funinjerusalem.com. We only have a few minutes left, but something I have alluded to on the air before, before we get back to the website, and just piggybacking off of the Aliyah conversation. But Fun in Jerusalem evolved from just being a mommy blog into this business. And I think that also speaks to the mentality of Olim, and or at least an Ola like yourself. So just give people, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit of a background about Fun in Jerusalem and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. I took a blogging class when I first got here, just to, like, on the off chance that it would be something I wanted to do. And one of the assignments was to actually start a blog. So I started one about things I did with my kids. My sister actually is the one who gets the credit for naming it, Fun in Jerusalem. And I just started writing, and then I started getting more and more requests, you know, whether it was I'd post something on Facebook and get a request of, oh, do you know if there's any shows for kids this week? Do you know if there's anything going on, you know, special in August? We're coming in for a bar mitzvah. Do you have an idea for a unique activity that we can do? And it just grew from there, and I think you're right. I think when you're in Ola, you can come in with two attitudes. One is, I would like to change Israel and the mentality and the people to be just like I'm used to in America. Or two, which is, okay, this is a different culture, it's a different way of working, and I would have loved to work initially for the Jerusalem municipality, and maybe, you know, I initially had some conversations with people once I started this saying, oh, maybe I should go and get a regular, you know, day job, and quickly realized that it just wasn't going to be right for me, and they weren't reaching the people that I was going to be able to reach. Mm. So I decided I'm going to go and create it myself.
And here we are.
And we want more and more tourists, so come on over.
Yeah, that is certainly not for our lack of trying. Let's also, by the way, just talk about things that happened today in Jerusalem, because there were events that were posted on your website today that still happened in real time, and accommodations are made for everyone's safety, and I imagine that if any of these facilities felt that they could not accommodate and all of their guests safely, that they would have either closed the program or cut it off at a certain point. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, we have a community activity called Fun in the Park that's put together by the community center in the German colony. And it's a couple nights a week in different parks. They have activities going on for kids. So it could be blowing big bubbles or petting zoo or yoga workshop. So this week, there was one scheduled for a park that didn't have a shelter nearby. Mm. So they didn't cancel the activity. They just changed the park to a park called Park Bilu, which is right off of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And there's a big, large public shelter there. Thank God the siren didn't go off and it wasn't an issue.
Right.
But that's the attitude. It's not cancel. It's, okay, how can we make this safe? You know, I wanted to take out my kids this week, and I was thinking, you know, where should I take them? What should I do? And the truth is, I felt like the safest place was Cinema City.
Huh.
And I took them out to a movie because the movie theaters are all located underground.
Wow.
And if there was a siren, we wouldn't even have to move anywhere. The kids wouldn't even hear the siren. I had my phone on, so I knew, you know, I have my Red Alert app. I know when the rockets are coming.
Right.
And that's how you adjust. And we drove home very quickly.
How have your kids been reacting? I mean, we talked about resiliency of Israelis, but let's talk for a second about the kids. How have your kids been handling the situation?
I think for kids, the most important thing is to know that there's a process and know what you need to do. So we got some information. Somebody had WhatsApped me and said there's a good chance there's going to be a rocket attack on Jerusalem, and this was the first one of this series. And I had enough time to tell my kids, listen, we're going to set up the beds in the Mamad, which is in our basement. If you guys want to watch TV downstairs or you want to sleep there tonight, you're welcome to. If there's a siren, we'll go down. And so it wasn't a panic when there was a siren. Mm. It was more of, okay, let's go. This is what we have to do. We came back up after the siren, and my three-year-old, who doesn't totally understand what's going on, ran to the closet, pulled out her Dora umbrella that she got from her friend Haley, and said, boys, boys, come under my umbrella. It'll take away the boom boom. You know, and it's so sweet, and you just love that story. And then you think, why does a three-year-old need to be dealing with this?
Right.
On the other hand, we know how to keep her safe. And thank God, you know, everything's been okay so far.
Thank God is right. What upcoming events are taking place in the next couple of weeks? I know the 3 weeks has started, and so the shift has already taken place. But what can people look forward to towards the end of July and even into August that's going to be going on in Jerusalem?
Well, we've got there's a great exhibit at the Science Museum, which you can enjoy even during the 3 weeks, called The Machine Inside. It comes from Chicago, and it's all about how man has been inspired by man has been inspired in innovation from animals, with a lot of interactive exhibits.
Cool.
There are still scavenger hunts going on in the old city in Nakhlaot. There's a new game that takes place in the Shuk called the Shuk Dash, which takes you on missions around the Shuk to buy certain things and find certain people, and that's a lot of fun.
When you refer to the Shuk, I'm sorry to interrupt, you're referring to Machane Yehuda at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then August is full of festivals. I mean, we have the Formula One race is going to happen again.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to be out of town.
When is that taking place?
The last week of August.
Really?
And
okay.
There's going to be the Chutzot HaYotzer Art Festival, which people love, the Puppet Festival.
Amazing.
Jerusalem Theater is having an end-of-the-year festival. Right now we're finishing off the film festival.
Oh, right. Were you able to participate in that at all?
No, unfortunately not. They actually had a really big grand opening event, but that they did postpone because that was going to be a large number of people in Brechada Sultan, Sultan's Pool.
Right.
And for large gatherings like that, they are recommending to cancel.
Got it. Okay.
So they postponed it to the end of the festival, assuming that the war is over.
Okay. Please God. Please God. And what else? And okay, so that's, we got Formula One. We have the Israeli cinema. And what else can people looking forward to?
I think a lot of just the regular activities that are always around, like ATVing in the desert. There's a new skate park in Jerusalem, which is fun to go and watch skateboarders skate around. It's in Ganapa Amon, across from the first station.
Got it. Amazing.
And there are shows at the Jerusalem Theater. There's also there are a lot of new great activities that we're starting to put up on the site. There's this art activity at a place called Kakadu, which you might remember from your year in Israel.
Wait a minute, isn't that the woodwork?
Yes, it is the painted woodwork. So you can actually go and meet the artists. You can see their studio. You can actually do a workshop with them, and she helps you touch up the piece at the end where you walk out and you feel like you've got a real Kakadu piece. And it's based near Beit Shemesh.
Incredible, incredible. Well, Joanna Shebsen from Fun in Jerusalem. Everyone, funinjerusalem.com. Kol hakavod to you. The website's amazing. Your story is amazing. And I just wish you and your family continued success and safety. And I look forward to hearing from you very soon. I thank you for sharing your time with us this morning.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network.